David Noakes returns to the hot. Is that chair comfortable, David?
Oh yes, I'm fine.
We have a chair issue in this problem in this place. It's an ongoing battle to find a good one. They collapse. They usually when a guest's sitting on it, which is invariably quite amusing, but it wouldn't be tonight. The EU truth, you were essentially telling us before the news that, I suppose for want of a better phrase, you're exposing what the EU is really about.
That's correct. The Lisbon Treaty is really very easy to understand if you read any kind of legal documents. Very simply, for example, Article 9 defines a three-tier Politburo dictatorship with a sham parliament with no power on the Soviet model. It's as plain as the nose on your face if you read Article 9. It's not difficult. Article 8A4 gives the EU the power to abolish our Lib Dem, Labour and Conservative parties. And Article 10A, along with countless others, makes it crystal clear that the EU is a military union. So there's nothing difficult about this. They keep saying in Parliament that it's a difficult treaty to read. Well, there are six treaties. You can read all of them, and I have.
Mm. Have you? Is there a danger that you've looked at this, because you come from a specific direction on this and decided to sort of make it fit, that you've looked at it and thought, well, actually, you can interpret policies and laws in very many ways, and you've had a look at this and thought, this is the way I choose to see it, as distinct from how somebody else would choose to interpret it?
Well, I could take you through it line by line, and you would understand it. It's written in the language of subterfuge. For example, 8A4, political parties at the European level contribute to forming European political awareness and to expressing the will of the citizens of the Union. That's the doublespeak. What's the translation? Well, very simply, parties at the European level were defined as those with voters in more than 10 countries in the Madrid Party financing document in July 1999. Well, of course, all our political parties have only got voters in one country, so they are illegal under the European Union. And given that all these treaties are interpreted by European judges, whose remit is to enforce them in accordance with the expression ever closer union, they have the right to abolish our political parties, and it is as plain as the nose on your face if you read legal language.
But is any of this likely to actually happen, or are these just potentials or possibilities or just fuddy-duddy aspects of legalese, if you like?
Well, no other nation in history has passed 120,000 regulations, for example, all of which are destructive and which are only aimed at Britain. When these are enforced, they will completely destroy small business, which is about 70% of business, and we're looking at millions unemployed. Now, they've only enforced about 10% of these 120,000 regulations so far, but when the EU takes over on the 1st of January next year, they can enforce the whole lot, and that will be devastating.
So why would they do that, though? Why would they enforce a regulation that's going to close our businesses?
The EU dictatorship cannot be built while there is a strong and freedom-loving Britain on its doorstep. We stopped them in 1914, we stopped them again in 1939. What most people don't realise is that Adolf Hitler founded the European Union as the European Economic Community in 1940. The first summit was in 1943 under von Ribbentrop. 13 nations attended. The first conference was at Berlin University in 1942, when all the normal policies were first expounded: a common currency, common transport policy, common coal and steel. A whole thing was set up by the Nazis. And in 1946, when you couldn't sell Nazism to anyone, they switched it from a Nazi basis to a communist basis, and it's been a communist basis ever since. And right now they're planning to collapse our house prices because they don't believe in private ownership of property.
And so you believe that's what that's all about, the reduction of house prices? It's not about market forces and somebody sneezed in the United States and the rest of us got a cold?
No, what happened first of all is they encouraged house prices to go through the roof, madly through the roof. They've gone up tenfold since 1990. And then what they're doing now is now there's a crunch and a recession. Instead of reducing interest rates, they're talking about putting interest rates up on the daft pretext that inflation is going up. Well, all the inflation that's happening is happening overseas. It's oil in Saudi Arabia, which is being artificially jacked up. It's rice in India that's going up. We can't affect those prices in England by putting up interest rates, but they're putting up interest rates anyway to force a catastrophic collapse in house prices.
So when we read today that actually people are still going mad in the high street and buying things, which is a sure sign that the Bank of England are likely to stick the rates up as a result of that to try and cool that retail market down, that plays into exactly what you're just talking about.
Yes, it's a very helpful excuse for them.
Bob here in Heathrow says, here's a question. We've given quite a lot away as a government. Is there anything that could be done to force a change in this policy?
Given away what to who?
I assume he's referring to our powers have been given away to a centralised Europe.
Okay, well, 80% of Westminster's powers have already been given to Europe in the last five treaties. Lisbon gives away the last 20%. So Westminster is completely powerless from the 1st of January onwards. Over the last 35 years, pro-EU people, about 30,000 of them, have been moved up into all positions of power in England. So that, for example, they managed to get this vote abolishing Britain in the in Parliament with the Lisbon Treaty, and the House of Lords passed it last night. So government is never going to oppose the EU because they are only in government because they are sympathisers. So government won't do it. There's lots of ways we can do it, and the first and most obvious and the only thing that will definitely stop the EU is a general strike.
A general, which would be what? Every worker of every energy-based essential industry just putting tools down and coming out of work?
That's right. We all need to go on strike until these traitorous MPs either resign or strike out all six treaties as null and void. They shouldn't be repealed because they are all illegal under the British Constitution, which is written, by the way, every word of it. They need to be struck out as null and void.
But isn't it true within our own constitution that if a new party is elected in, they have the right, as a new party that's just been voted into power, to usurp and trump any previous agreement from another, from the previous government? So they could, if the Tories got in next time, as it looks as if they probably will, they could come along and actually say, although they probably won't, but they could if they wanted to, say, actually, we think all of this is balderdash, we'll get rid of it and we'll start afresh.
Yes, up until the 31st of December this year, that is theoretically possible. And in fact, the only way that Parliament could be persuaded is for everyone to go and visit their MPs and warn them that when Westminster is abolished, probably on the 5th of May 2010, they will not only lose their £240,000 a year salary and expenses, but they will be eliminated politically.
Sorry, Europe will be abolished, did you say?
No, Westminster.
Westminster.
Yeah. Now, every dictatorship in history has eliminated those who put it in power, because if they put it in power, they can take it out of power. So they will eliminate all our MPs politically. Now, 100 years ago, they would have just chopped their heads off.
So by 2010, there'll be no Westminster functioning as it does now?
Well, Westminster...
Not even in a pantomime sort of facade?
Westminster will become a full-time pantomime on the 1st of January next year, and I predict it will be abolished on the 5th of May 2010 when another general election is due. Because under the six EU constitutional treaties, there is no way of having a general election in Britain.
There's no way, no legal way, or could they still do it?
There's no legal way, because the EU constitution takes primacy,
right?
Which is the EU's devious way of saying the British constitution is abolished.
Okay.
So therefore, there's nothing in the six treaties to enable Westminster election.
So who's my prime minister? Who's my supreme leader then in that case?
Well, the only power that Gordon Brown will wield is as one of the 27 leaders of one of the three politburos. But of course, all 27 leaders are the same leaders that have forced our 27 nations to be abolished. They are already bought and paid for by the European Union. So we will all be ruled by the European Union from the 1st of January next year.
So, if I've got this right, this isn't conspiratorial hogwash. That this is actually everything you're saying, everything you've said since you've been on air, is actually there for us to read if we want to read it.
Yes.
If I went through the Lisbon Treaty and everything that you've read, I would come without doubt, unequivocally, to the same conclusions that you've just come to here.
Well, I'm leaving you with a 2-page summary of the main Lisbon Treaty clauses. It is that simple that you can grasp all you need to know in 2 pages. But you can read all 6 treaties. The EU has passed the laws of a police state in this nation over the last 35 years as we've harmonised our laws with the EU. The latest one, of course, is 42-day detention. In the European Union, they want 6 months detention. So firstly, they took us from 2 days to 7, to 18, to 28, to 42. But they won't stop until we have 6 months detention without trial, because that's what the European has. So all this legislation, tons of it that's gone through Parliament, all of which you can read, has built an unenforced police state, ready for the EU to enforce from the 1st of January this year.
We're going to take a short pause. We're back in a few moments. Thank you to somebody here who says, hello, I would like to ask David a question during the debate, please. But then doesn't leave a question. That's quite a conspiracy in itself, isn't it, really? Or was the question you raised, Ash?
I can't say anything.
It is fascinating stuff. There's lots more to talk about. We're back with more from David Noakes. If you have a question for David, reference the centralisation of power and the harmonisation of the EU, which, of course, has massive support from some people politically. They ideologically feel that the EU is, it's great to be all together under one umbrella. It makes perfect sense. Bit of cafe culture over here. We'll come to all of that and a bit more as well with David Noakes, founder of EU Truth, here on TalkSport after this.
British Antarctic Survey, 1912.
This is the diary of Captain Scott. We're ready for the final push to the pole. Spirits are high. Captain Oates seems to be in touch with a higher power. Wherever we are, he can tell us the football scores.
I'm going outside now. There may be some time. The cricket's on.
With up to 24 hours rechargeable battery life, the Pure TalkSport portable DAB radio is the essential addition to any outdoor expedition. The Pure TalkSport family of digital radios, available from curries.co.uk.
Yes, love.
2 cones and a half price Kelmscott kitchen, please.
Mum, aren't an extra 20% off as well?
Well, I want a free Bosch dishwasher.
The great MFI summer sale is now on at your local MFI store, not your local ice cream van. Minimum spend, conditions apply. Higher prices charged 4th to the 18th of June.
Now, it's all very well using a price comparison website for things like car insurance, but now there are so many price comparison sites around that you need someone to compare them to. Well, luckily, Ipsos Mori have. And when they compared leading comparison websites on 100 car insurance policies, they found that MoneySupermarket.com were the most likely to get you the best deal. Just one of the reasons why MoneySupermarket.com is the number one price comparison site. MoneySupermarket.com, the price comparison site.
Turn right in 50 yards. Turn right in 49 yards. Turn right in 48 yards.
The average car journey in central London takes twice as long as the same journey by bike. So when you're just popping to the shops, you're better off by bike. Visit tfl.gov.uk.
To tell you about Subaru's Turbo Weekend, we've got the world's first turbocharged voiceover artist.
This weekend is the Subaru Turbo Weekend,
celebrating Subaru's thrilling range of turbocharged cars. The Forester Turbo, the Impreza WRX and the STI. Take a test drive and be entered into a prize draw to win a WRX for a year, weekends at a luxury hotel and Subaru track days. There's 3 years 0% finance on Forester Turbos, savings on
special accessory packs and loads more. So visit your local dealer this weekend.
Finance provided by Subaru Finance. Full terms and conditions of all offers at subaru.co.uk.
If a chip in your windscreen turns into a crack, that costs your insurance excess. Call Autoglass first and we can usually repair a chip. And if you're fully comp, it's usually free, so you can relax and watch the football.
Call Autoglass anytime on 0800 36 36 36 or go to autoglass.co.uk.
Autoglass repair, Autoglass replace.
I'm TalkSport Terry and I know everything.
TalkSport Terry, the big bloke with the overweight brain, what we keeps locked in the attic with a load of encyclopedia.
I know the length of the world's longest bogey, what a women can't drive, and where to buy a mutton pie in Norwich.
TalkSport Terry knows absolutely everything.
I'll text you back the answer to any question for a quote.
Text the word Terry and absolutely any question to 81089 and he'll text you the answer for a pint.
Why does the world keep on turning? For a flipping pound, I'll tell you.
TalkSport Terry knows absolutely everything.
There's no point being ignorant.
Plus, standard sending charge. See TalkSport.net.
The radio station which likes people from Holland on a bong and a biscuit DAB digital radio, or alternatively,
for sure,
that Father Abraham bloke out of the Smurfs.
Hello.
In a pair of progs sailing down a drug-addled canal off his face on space cake.
Make of tulips in the clogs,
which is 1089 and 1053 medium wave talk sport.
At the meeting of the European Council today, we will listen to and hear what the Taoiseach of Ireland, Brian Cowen, has to say, and we will try to give support to him in the efforts that he is making in the future.
That's Gordon Brown speaking today. We'll listen to what Brian Cowen, who's the Taoiseach of Ireland, has to say. Well, I don't know what they could say, because they voted on the Lisbon Treaty. They said no. That essentially, according to the basic fabric of what the Lisbon Treaty is meant to be about, that supposedly kills it, David Noakes, does it not?
Not at all. The EU made the rule that...
Well, you're saying there's something suspicious about this?
It's all corrupt. The EU made the rule that all 27 nations had to vote. Now they will just change the rule. It's as simple as that. And, of course, it's fabulous for Ireland, because they may now get a two-year delay. We will all be abolished on the 1st of January, they'll keep going. But as the EU consolidates its power next year, it may become very obvious that it is a dictatorship to everyone in Ireland, and then they may never join. And if they don't, they will end up, Ireland, the wealthiest nation for 1,000 miles in any direction.
Laura in Northern Ireland says, can you ask David where I can obtain a copy of the Lisbon Treaty, please? I'd like to read it. I bet it takes some... I looked at it and I decided, should I carry on reading or eat my own face? It became that boring. Is it designed to do that?
Yes, it is. It's designed to conceal its content and to put you off. So it starts off with flowery phrases.
Yep.
And then all the knife-twisting stuff is so far in that you really don't want to get that far.
Let's go to Amit in Derby. Amit, hello.
Hello, Ian. How are you?
I'm as good as gold, thanks. You've got a question for David Noakes.
I have indeed. Hello, David.
Hi.
Just a question about common purpose. I've done a bit of work into this myself and heard that there has been, since the late 80s, I suppose the best way to describe it would be a Trojan horse-funded, EU-funded, taxpayer-funded organisation that have been eating away at England since the late 80s. I was wondering whether you could comment on that at all.
OK, well, it's common purpose that has undermined the NHS with change, one of the 200 Frankfurt School subversion techniques that the EU has been implementing in England since the 1950s.
Hang on, the Frankfurt School subversion technique?
Yes.
That's like a James Bond thing, isn't it? What the heck's one of those?
Well, in 1935, the communist rulers of Soviet Russia were getting concerned that the workers weren't losing their chains and revolting. So what they did is they bought the sociology department from Frankfurt University, renamed it the Frankfurt School, and commissioned them to research and document how to undermine and collapse a nation. And it is those techniques that the European Union has been implementing in Britain since the 1950s, and it is Common Purpose, the Common Purpose organisation of which Julia Middleton is the CEO, which mainly implements these subversion techniques, and they have almost collapsed the NHS, which is probably their most obvious success.
Okay. Are those techniques including sort of NLP, practice of NLP?
I've not noticed that, but they've got about 30,000 graduate trainees and they are gradually shifting power away from councillors into council executives. In other words, they're removing democracy at the local level.
Right.
Is that why head honchos at councils get paid squillions a quid to do the job?
Yeah, most of them are
common prime ministers.
That's right. All those people will be common purpose members, yes.
So that will, in terms of our geographic landscape politically, that will all, I'm assuming, divide up to a very different look to the one we have at the moment. in terms of counties and where they sit within the bigger picture?
Yes. All our counties are being abolished and they're being replaced with nine EU regions, each with a regional capital which reports directly to Brussels and bypasses Westminster.
Which I'm told, is this true? That I know it's true because I've looked. But actually, if you go online, they're not even hiding this. You can actually find your regional parliament.
Oh, yes. If you look at... we even have a minister for the regions, of the nine regions, Nick Rainford, last time I looked, Rainsford. Oh, yes, it's very obvious it's happening, and already most of the local bureaucrats are now organised under the nine regions instead of under the 48 counties.
Okay. Peter in Glasgow says, does all this mean we'll end up joining the euro? Well, I suppose it would, wouldn't it, really?
No.
Isn't that the least of our problems?
No.
So we wouldn't join. We still keep the pound? Hooray! So your journey's been a waste of time, David. We won the pound. We kept the pound. William Hague was right all along.
No, you're completely missing the point. Gordon Brown's five tests to keep us out the euro weren't Gordon Brown's tests.
This, of course, went back to 95 when he first said, prior to coming into government.
That's right. His five tests were indeed to keep us out the euro on the instruction of the European Union. Because for the EU to succeed, Britain has to be utterly destroyed, economically and politically, or we'll stop them for the third time. So that is why we are being kept in sterling. So the EU will sabotage sterling and drive us into poverty. If we were in the euro, that would be much more difficult to do because they'd be harming themselves.
So are we the problem nation then of the whole of the European dream?
Yes, Britain and Ireland are the problem nation.
Is that because we're just naturally great people, the Brits and the Irish? Is that what's happened there? Or it just happened through our own varied histories that this is how we've ended up in this position of, I don't know, rebellion, I suppose some might say.
We have been one people since 4144 BC, I think it is. The first Celts arrived in Britain in 1754 BC. Anglo-Saxons, Jutes, Normans, Vikings, we're all Celts. We are a huge problem. We are the people who are in the way. That's another subject and a very long one.
Oh, I'm sure it is. So between us, they trashed the sterling. So we all then say, oh, the euro, what a great idea. Is that the idea? And then join it.
Oh, no, they don't want us in the euro.
So we're never going to join the euro?
No, they want Britain economically, politically and militarily destroyed.
So we're probably going to be the poor man of Europe, even if we're within Europe.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, that's a bit rubbish, isn't it? What happened to the harmonisation and we're all equal? I'd rather be a communist than a sick communist.
Yeah, well, the EU is a communist organisation.
Well, on the back of that, yeah. George in Kilwinning, I don't know if you can answer this, he says, what happens with our great royal family?
Well, I don't want to tread on people's toes, but you have to remember that the reason that King Edward VIII was forced to abdicate was not because his wife-to-be was a divorcee, it was because he was a rabid Nazi. And the divorce was just the excuse. He went charging off to Berlin, pictures with his best buddy Adolf Hitler in full Nazi gear. The whole royal family has been Nazi right up until till the end of the last war. The Queen's tutor was Sir Henry Martin, a Fabian communist, from the age of 12 to the age of 22. The royal family is completely behind the European Union, and the Queen is one of the primary instigators of it. And no one has risked more for the European Union than the Queen, because when she signed the first four treaties, all the treason laws were still in place, and she should have hung by the neck till dead for every treaty. She risked her life for the EU. Do these treason...
When you say hung by the neck, you mean as an act of treason?
Yes, absolutely.
But isn't she, as the monarch, surely it's her thing. It's her empire, it's her country, her treaty.
No, we are the sovereign people of the nation. She is our servant. And if you remember, King Charles I had his head chopped off for treason. So her head should have been chopped off four times. The EU and all its laws are illegal under the British Constitution, and everything the Queen and the government has done is illegal.
Does that mean, are you not committing treason then in this case in some respect?
No, I'm trying to uphold the British Constitution.
Dougie says, can you ask David to explain what he meant by a political party having to have voters in 10 countries? As far as I'm aware, no party has this capability.
Oh yes, they do. The two European parties do, the EPP and the PES.
Right, so an individual European country couldn't have that, which is the point, I suppose, so that they can't have that power. But you just mentioned two European parties. Mm.
You got it in one.
I never heard of these parties. Who are they?
Party of the European Socialists, PES, and the European People's Party.
Can I join these?
You'll have to soon, because when the Conservative, Labour and Liberal parties are abolished, you'll either have to join one of those two parties or leave politics.
Stephen Battersea, at the risk of sounding stupid, why exactly is the Labour Party so hell-bent on the Lisbon Treaty?
It isn't just the Labour Party, it's all the parties. It was the Conservatives are the primary instrument of the European Union in Britain.
The Conservatives, did you?
The Conservatives, yeah. All the parties are completely pro-Europe. The leadership of all our parties has been corrupted by the European Union. It's not just Labour.
Here's a call from James in Ayrshire. James, hello.
Oh, hello. One or two questions, if I may, David. I feel very angry about the EU because I feel that I was duped into voting for membership, for the EEC, which you referred to, under Ted Heath. And at that time, I was under the impression it was purely a nice little economic arrangement for you know, fair trade and so on, or easier trade. I'm angry that it clearly was not that at all. There was far more to it, as we've all seen. And I agree with everything you've said. Britain is clearly going down the tube in so many ways that it would take too long to go into. But I've got two sort of basic questions at the moment. The first one is maybe an obvious one. The three mainstream parties, I mean, I know UKIP are against the EU and would try to get out, but they're not a power, unfortunately. Why is it that the three mainstream parties, who presumably have people who are bright enough to see the destruction of Britain, why are they going along with it? And secondly, the average man in the street can also see it, and most people I talk to can see how the EU is gradually destroying Britain, and we're all being muzzled. We can hardly, the human rights laws and other laws are muzzling us. We are almost frightened to talk out anymore. What can the people do? And also, why are all senior politicians, as you say, of all parties, so in favour of the destruction of Britain?
They are under the misapprehension that they will benefit greatly from the gravy train if they are not already. The government's biggest expenditure now, according to the Cabinet Office, and it was reported in every newspaper, is the $167 billion spent on pro-EU quangos, which bribe over 100,000 people a year, with 150,000 a year plus salaries, to smooth the way for the European Union. That's the 8,500 quangos, most of them controlled by common
purpose. So how much money was that?
$167 billion, according to the Cabinet Office.
Do you know what I read today? That for $45 billion, you could take 14 million Brits in lower income out of the tax bracket altogether.
We've just had the longest period of prosperity, the biggest boom in our history. The European Union now gobbles a third of our gross domestic product, that $167 billion and the $100 billion it costs, according to the government's Better Regulation Commission, to implement EU regulations. If it hadn't have been for that, the minimum wage would be £20 an hour now. The fact it's still £5 an hour is all down to the EU.
Staggering. James, thank you, sir, for that. We're going to take a short pause and we're back for a final burst with David Noakes, founder of EU Truth, that's the website, and editor of Westminster News, with us here on TalkSport.
Hello. Get top-held golf updates, which are a cut above the rest, on TalkSport. Now, where the blame... Blazers as my driver.
Over here, your lordship.
Get your towels on the fairway early for all the gin and Teutonic action from the BMW International Open in Munich. Also, ich bin ein Golfer.
Expect nothing but the best. Get a better class of golf coverage on TalkSport with Nikon, patrons of Open Golf.
Autoglass repair, autoglass replace.
Gavin, 27, technician for Autoglass.
We're all getting excited about the football at Autoglass at the moment, but we're still here 24-7 to take your calls. One customer the other day had been driving home to watch a game, went over a little pothole and crack. The vibration on the road was all it took to turn a tiny chip in his windscreen into a crack. Of course he called Autoglass, and I came out and replaced his windscreen, and he was really pleased with that, but it cost his insurance excess, and that's not cheap nowadays. If you'd have called Autoglass as soon as the chip appeared, we can usually repair it without replacing the windscreen. And if you fully comp, most insurance companies will pay for an Autoglass repair, so it's free for you. Well, they don't like the expense and waste of replacing the glass any more than you do. And that's one penalty no one wants to see.
Call Autoglass anytime on 0800 36 36 36 or book online at autoglass.co.uk.
Autoglass repair, Autoglass replace.
Now the weather. It's going to be another glorious sunny summer's day today. Beautiful sunshine in every part of the British Isles. And this sunny spell is expected to last, well, forever.
With Vodafone's Endless Summer, you can now get unlimited text, calls, email and mobile internet with our scorching new price plans. So you'll never be burnt by your bill again. Visit us in store. Vodafone. Make the most of now.
Subject to status, availability and connection to 18-month contract. Unlimited calls to landlines and Vodafone mobiles only. Fair use policy terms and 60-minute call cap apply. See Vodafone.co.uk.
Ah, what a beautiful day. Looks like the summer hasn't let us down this year.
Yeah, I just hope my car doesn't let me down either.
You should take your Vauxhall to Masterfit. They're offering a summer safety check and top-up for just £35.
£35?
Yeah, and you'll also get a free summer car care kit worth £9.50, including wash and wax, clear glass spray, sponge and cloth.
Brilliant. So everything I need to keep my car going through the summer.
Exactly. Which means you can keep your cool. Go to londonvauxhall.co.uk to find your nearest Vauxhall retailer. Car care kit subject to availability at participating retailers only.
The TalkSport prepaid debit card. The card which asks no questions, an account which tells no lies. It's a card you can put money on which doesn't involve banks snooping around or nosy credit checks. And the only charge you'll pay is for cash withdrawals.
And top-ups.
And there's no monthly statement coming through the letterbox to blow your cover either. So you can hide your hard-earned wampum away from that boot starting World War III. The TalkSport prepaid debit card. Your girlfriend will love it and your wife won't know anything about it. Hip, hip, hurry! Get one now at TalkSport.net. It'll be our wee secret. Let's go to Bulgaria skiing. You know what I mean?
On 1089 and 1053 AM and DAB Digital Radio, Talk Sport.
We're back for a final burst with David Noakes. Alex Jones, by the way, comes up in a few moments' time, as promised. Let's take another couple of questions here. This one in from Ven, who says, I've been concerned about the whole EU thing for some time. One question, though, if private ownership of houses is to be discouraged, why crash the house prices?
Well, how do you take houses away from people? If you give everyone negative equity, they lose the houses automatically and the banks end up owning them. It's perfect. It works like a dream.
This one in from Ian, who says, David has held anti-EU views, or was there a... Has David always held anti-EU views, or was there a moment of revelation, says Sean in Bristol. I apologise.
About 10 years ago, I started to read the EU treaties and laws. I wasn't particularly interested up to that point, but then when as soon as I realised what they meant, that was it.
This is Tony in Bermondsey. Tony, hello.
Hello. Would the open door policy of immigration have anything to do with watering down our society if we were going to a vote?
That's quite a hot potato, isn't it, immigration? That would make sense on what he just said.
Right, this is a Frankfurt School subversion technique. Since the EU got control of our borders in the 1997 Amsterdam Treaty, they've let 10 million immigrants in. The government won't give you the figures, but that is a pretty accurate one. 2.7 million came in last year alone. The aim is to create overcrowding, tension, and a loss of identity, and it's been extremely effective.
Tony, thank you for that. This one in from, I think it might be, it's from Brian in Brum. Could you, your guest, confirm if Tony Blair forms any part of the EU conspiracy? I'd imagine a big part from your perspective. Would that be reasonable, David?
We think every Prime Minister gets £10 million for each EU treaty they pass, so Tony Blair will have got £20 million. Gordon Brown will get £10 million for this treaty, Lisbon. It was rather obvious when Ted Heath got paid because he went from being a pauper to suddenly being able to spend £1 million on an Admiral's Cup cup team, and he also, of course, bought a £3.5 million house near Salisbury.
Andy, in Cannock, would it be reasonable to say we live in a dictatorship dressed up as a democracy?
We've been in the European Union since 1970, so we have been transforming from a democracy to a dictatorship, yes.
Terry says, this is a broken record. Europe is a great place to be. Let's enjoy it.
I totally agree. Europe's been a great place while it's been 27 free and independent democratic nations. But you go talk to the French who voted against Europe and they'll tell you it's becoming more and more like a police state. Let's have the 27 independent nations and let's utterly abolish the dictatorship of the European Union forever.
What is the upshot of all of this? Because even if, David Noakes, it turns out that you're right and we do have this rather brutal dictatorial system in the middle, it will still inevitably mean that Europeans, to use that phrase, go about their everyday business. They live somewhere, they heat their homes, they have their friends around for a bite to eat, they go to the pub. What really changes? What's the nub of the issue here then?
Well, it's just what the last questioner said. Do you have a nice society where it's great to visit Europe and you love being with the French and the Spanish, or do you want a miserable existence as the poor people in Soviet Russia have had for the last 70 years?
But do you think it would really be like that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So we'll be ground down as a people with the subversive techniques you mentioned and goodness knows what else, that we are simply in the in that submissive position to our government, where we can do nothing. We have no voice, no right to reply, no democratic vote, low wages, average housing. It's going to be that a former communist dictatorship, you're saying?
Yes, there probably won't be another general election because Westminster will be abolished instead on the 5th of May. Our politicians have completely destroyed our democracy. We the people have no say. They completely rule us. 80% of us don't want to be in the EU, but the government implements EU laws, EU treaties, EU policies, not the wishes of the British people.
Two final points here, David. Sue in Bristol, could your guest explain why is it the only the UK seems to obey the EU? France tells everybody where to go. True or false?
It is deliberate because these regulations only apply to Britain. It is only Britain that has to be utterly destroyed, and they are only aimed at Britain.
Some people, and this won't be the first time you've heard this, we'll say, you're crackers, David Noakes. How do you respond to that? Because you'll have had all of that, I'm sure.
Well,
you've had your website closed down by people who think you're bonkers.
I've read the treaties, the laws and the regulations, and they are crackers. So it's not my fault if I sound that way. I'm just repeating what they say.
And if any of our listeners want some information, a little bit more about what you've been saying, and to maybe make our own investigations, just in case somebody does think you're barking and somebody else wants to confirm what you say is true, any of that, sort it out for themselves. Where could they go? Because your website's been vandalised by aliens or something.
No, it's been deliberately taken down. Any website can be taken down now. The government's passed new laws, and you can submit a simple legal form and take any website down. And this is what saboteurs in the supposedly anti-EU movement have done.
David, thanks for coming in, sir. The web address may be back. I'm sure you're hopeful.
Yes, eutruth.org.uk.
Okay.
Give me a week or so, it'll be back.
David Noakes with us on TalkSport.